Wake up, everybody. Good morning.
Now I've been happy lately.
You get the blessing.
Thinking about the good things to come. And I believe it could be something good has begun.
This is one of the good things coming your way. You get the blessing. Bob Belt and Bo Mitchell.
The world is one. And I believe
T-Strain
it could be
as driven someday by the Lord Jesus Christ. Prince of Peace. Good song too.
It's a great song. Cat Stevens. I like Cat Stevens.
We are today going to take our listeners on a journey.
We got a great guest, and I've heard Ron's story before, so it'll be fun for people to hear his life. And we've got Ron here and his wife, Vaughn.
Welcome to the show, Ron.
Yeah, Ron. Well, good to have you with us.
Thank you, Bo. Thank you, Bob. It just feels a big honor to be here, especially with all the great names that you have on your show.
Well,
I feel privileged.
We've been excited to have you on here for the last few months, and I'll tell you what, set still, listeners. You don't want to miss Ron Barton's story. And so we'll welcome Yvonne too. Yvonne, glad you're here.
Thank you.
And let me just point out, as I do every week, that You Get the Blessing exists because we want to bless your lives. And I think that's happening. We hear from you all. You let us know that you are being blessed through the guests that you meet on our program. And so today won't be an exception. In fact, it'll be one of the exceptional times that you've had with us. And Bob, why don't you just introduce Ron, and we'll get started with a little history on his life.
Well, I know Ron from Highline Community Church, where Ron and Vaughn go, and of course I've been the filling in there. I'm actually the main guy, the senior pastor filling in. That's what I used to do. Now I'm actually there.
You're not filling in anymore.
Yeah,
I know.
And part of what I love about Highline is they really are great people, and I've really gotten to know Ron and Vaughn a lot better recently because we went out to coffee together with a few other couples, and it's the first time I heard Ron's story, so I don't want to take anything away from it. But Ron, you're kind of a wild guy growing up, man. So, and we're going to introduce the third guest later, but after you get far enough into your story that we can tell who else is in the room with us. But you fire away, man. Tell us a little bit about growing up.
Well, I grew up on a dairy farm up in the state of Washington. I had four brothers and four sisters. We didn't have much of a social life, but the only social life we had was with relatives, cousins, aunts and uncles, and doing a lot of farm work. And one of the things that we used to do for entertainment was me and my brothers just getting rock fights. And I got hit in the head when I was 11 years old with a rock and ended up losing my left eye then. So, I mean, you haven't told the audience this yet, but I'm actually totally blind. And I lost, my left eye when I was 11 years old. And then when I got into seventh grade, one of the biggest problems that started my life down the wrong road is that I got involved in pornography. I got addicted to pornography, and which gave me a false interpretation of what love really is. And, of course, I was trying to live on that kind of a dream of finding that love, that perfect love that I was looking for, and not realizing it was in front of me all the time. But that's comes later on in my life. I got into college and started getting into a different type of social life, where I started partying and drinking with other classmates at college. And from the drinking, I got involved in drugs and got to the point where I couldn't support my drinking and drug habits anymore. So I had to drop out of college, return to my hometown, and actually get a job. But things just got worse. I partied a lot more than I ever did. And actually ended up in jail about six different times. I wrecked eight cars and totaled out three of those, totaled out a motorcycle and hit on with another car. And thanks to God, I'm still here to tell you about it. But my life, I got pretty wild and pretty crazy. And then one of the last times I was in jail in Washington, I after I got out of jail, I decided to take a trip on my motorcycle, and I came to Colorado and went out to a small town out east of Denver called Lyman, and I went to visit some friends of mine that used to live out there, or used to live in Washington. They lived in Lyman at the time, and went to a party and met a young lady, and man, we really hit it off. So next thing I knew, they had talked me into moving to Colorado. But everything sort of followed me here to Colorado. I got in trouble here also. I ended up in jail again, and became real close to going to prison, actually. I got caught dealing drugs. And it was about that time my girlfriend's brother started telling me about the Lord, and I thought, well, maybe this is time for me to change my life before I do end up in prison. So anyway, he led me to the Lord, sort of. I got baptized in the Lyman Airport pond in the middle of March, and that was back in 1975, and 1 month later, I was a victim of a mugging, which took my eyesight in my other eye.
So how old were you when that happened?
At that time, I was 27, okay. 26. Yeah, 26 when that happened, and I moved up to the Denver area, and of course, my doctor told me he didn't want me doing construction work anymore. So I decided I'd go back to school and get my degree and finish my degree getting it in accounting. And before I got that degree, the scar tissue had actually built up on that retina. I had a series of laser treatments and got my eyesight back partially for a couple of years. And that's when I decided to go back to college and get my degree in accounting. But before I got that degree, the scar tissue had pulled that retina loose. And when they tried to go in and remove that scar tissue, I was left without my sight. So I got upset and a little mad with God and started doing some backsliding and got back into drinking and drugs again. And one night on afternoon on my way to a drug deal, I was staying on the corner of 12th and Lincoln, and a person by the name of Bill Fay, who now is a well-known evangelist, at the time he had just gotten busted about 6 months earlier than that from running a house of ill repute, and he'd actually got on his knees and asked God to keep him out of prison, and if he did, he would give his life to the Lord. So anyway, I was one of the first persons that he ever shared Christ with.
And he picked you up hitchhiking.
I wasn't even hitchhiking. Oh. I was just waiting for a bus.
He just stopped and said, get in.
He just stopped, and I guess him and his wife ran away to a piano bar, and they decided that this was a opportunity to share Christ with somebody. So I didn't tell him I was on the way to a drug deal, but but anyway, he continued to share God with me and Jesus, and he did that for about a week until I finally invited a pastor friend of his to lunch, and before lunch was over, I had actually given myself back to the Lord and decided that was time for me to really start serving God.
You know, I got to jump in here and say, other than the alcohol, the partying, the house of prostitution, and the drugs, you and Bill Fay were on the up and up, weren't you?
We were definitely on the up and up, yep. We were on the right track.
Hey, what's a few little issues among friends?
That's right.
You kind of, oh, I forgot the pornography. Sorry.
Oh, yeah, that was, like I say, that was the thing that really triggered my downfall. So.
And you know why I say that kind of half jokingly is to just go through the list of things that can take us so far off the track and, you know, we're destroying ourselves. And there are listeners tuned in today that think because they've had a snag in one or more of those areas, they can listen to You Get the Blessing on Sunday and they can kind of stay on the outer edges of this whole faith issue and belief in Christ and church and fellowship. And yet they don't understand what we're going to spend some time talking about here. And that's the forgiveness of Christ and the love of Christ and the fact that he doesn't just kind of make a side list of the bads, but he literally removes our sin as far as the east is from the west and cleanses us. And that's what happened to you with your encounter with Bill Fay, isn't it, Ron?
Yes, uh-huh. It sure was.
I I wanted to just say one thing. We'll get back to this a little bit later, too, but lest I forget, I did want to say that the other guest with us here today in the studio is Lizzie, your dog. Oh, she is so great. And you've got a story about that, but let's not get go there yet. Let's go back to kind of what began to happen then after, you know, you'd really made a recommitment in your life to Christ. And what's, and you know, you was it, were you hitchhiking when you met your other friend that's in the room?
Actually, yes, I was. This was, had another guide dog at the time. His name was Lassen, and I just gotten back from the groomers and, or on my way home from the groomers, and I missed a couple buses, and I didn't want to wait that much time for the next bus, so I decided I was going to hitchhike, and this time, this young lady drove by, and she seen me there. Actually, she seen the dog first. I think that's what really caught her eye was my dog, because he had a blue ribbon in his hair, and that interested her, and the Lord spoke to her and told her that, you know, he needed a ride. He isn't going to hurt you. So she turned around. First time she'd ever picked up a hitchhiker. Mm-hmm. And she gave me a ride, only a couple miles, where she dropped me back off again at the shopping center. But during that little bit of time that we were riding, we started talking about the singles love at her church. And I told her I was interested in joining a singles group. So she gave me her card with her phone number on it, And a couple of weeks later, I actually called her, and actually I played a game called Beat Baseball, which is baseball for the visually impaired, and I was in a tournament out in Kansas the weekend after she picked me up, and the next weekend I decided I wanted to go on a bike ride, so I decided I would call her up and see if she rode bikes. I had no idea if she rode bikes or not, or even if she was even capable of riding a bike, but I called her up and asked her if she'd wanted to pilot my tandem, And she came over, and we went on about a 15-minute bike ride and found out that she was too short to reach the brakes, and it wasn't a good idea for her to ride with me. So,
hang on. You know what? You blew right through being a baseball player there, I think. Did you just say you were in a competitive baseball league?
Oh, yes, I did. Matter of fact, me and a couple of friends, we started a team here in Colorado called the Rocky Mountain Eagles. It was a blind softball team called Beat Baseball.
And how does it work? That being blind, you're able to pitch, hit, throw, run, field, I assume do everything associated with baseball.
Well,
I played baseball, and a lot of people thought my game looked like I was blind. But
right.
How'd you do that, Ron?
Well, we try to make it as close to baseball as we can, but, you know, with baseball, there's a lot of things that go on that you just can't do the same way as visually impaired people do, so... In our game of Beat Baseball, we only have six players, and our pitcher and catcher are both sighted, and we only have two bases, first and third base. And the ball itself has a sounding device in the middle of it that's drilled out. The ball's drilled out, and they put this little device in it that sends out an audio beeping noise so that the fielders can track the ball and get control of the ball before the batter actually gets to one of the two bases.
Wow. And somebody's figured all this out, how it works. That's a blast for you guys.
Yeah, oh, yeah. We have the National Beat Baseball Association. It's a national league. They make up all the rules, how to play the game. And, of course, they're always making different changes now and then to it. But it's probably a lot more competitive than regular baseball because of all the activity that's going on, because our pitcher pitches to us. He doesn't pitch to the opposing team. He wants to make sure we hit the ball instead of striking us out.
That sounds good.
If our pitcher has more than two or three strikeouts in a game, he's having a bad game.
Let me say once again, this is You Get the Blessing. I'm Bo Mitchell. Bob Belson, my co-host, and our guests today are Ron and Yvonne Barton. And Ron is the one that said it early on, because I was trying to think, how do you tastefully say your friend is blind, but Ron's 100% blind. He's very handsome, full head of hair, full beard, in shape, beautiful wife sitting here, and got a cool-looking pair of sunglasses on, and was just getting ready to tell us how somehow he swept Yvonne off her feet. So get back to that bike story and how you all fell in love.
Well, when we found out that she couldn't really handle the bike, we decided to go on about a three-hour walk, and we kept getting lost over in the Greenbelt area down by Dry Creek and University.
Was
and
that your plan from the start, to get lost?
No, it wasn't. It was. Oh. I think it was hers. But we got to know each other, and she found out she had just learned how to ski in the years two before that, and she loved skiing. And of course, I told her about my experience as a skier. I was a very competitive and accomplished skier myself. And so our plan was that she was going to become my ski guide. And that was one of our things that really drew us closer together. The things that I like to do, she seemed to like to do. We both went to very strong churches. And matter of fact, when she started going to my church, she found out that the church that I went to, she wasn't really fond of. And of course, the church that she went to, it was just too big for me, just too many people. And so we decided that we'd find a church that we could both, you know, enjoy. So we just started going to Greenwood Community Church. And then
that's our friend Tom Melton. Tom Melton, a great church.
Right. That's a great church also. And of course, you guys are all connected, you with the Greenbelt and Cherry Hills and Highline. I mean, we're all just one big, huge family. Amen. Which is neat to be able to go to any of those churches and you feel right at home.
So you guys were going to church, taking walks. She was your ski guide.
Well, she wanted to be my ski guide.
Oh, hadn't done that yet.
Well, we got her trained and certified as a guide up at Winter Park for the visually impaired. But when her and my guide when she started shadowing me and my other guide, who was my dentist at the time, she was always in survival mode, just trying to keep up with us. And she decided that she couldn't guide me because she didn't think I would ever slow down.
It doesn't appear that you have, by the way. And all this time that you're talking about this growing and your comfort in churches, you're done being ticked off at God and you're on the road.
Oh, I just keep getting. I've been blessed over and over and over again. You know, from that time on, from the time I met Bill Fay, I just getting more and more blessed. Bill actually introduced me to prison ministry. He was one of the first people that brought Kairos, which is a prison ministry, to Colorado. And he asked me to work that team. And after working as a volunteer at the prison, doing a couple retreats there, I realized that I had actually been blind all my life. And it wasn't until I actually lost my sight before I could really see that God opened my eyes, and that losing my eyesight was just a huge blessing. Blessing in disguise, and I've just been blessed over and over again because of it. All the things that I'm involved in, all the things I do, I mean, I probably wouldn't have ever done them if I was still sighted. Who knows? I may not have even been alive today because of that. So
every other sense in your body and your heart and your love for Christ was all just almost empowered beyond the rest of us because of your loss of sight.
Yes, it really has, because I see things totally different than people that are physically sighted. I have a totally different vision of different things.
Describe that for us.
Well,
I don't know even how to ask the question. But
well, one time, you know, when I was sighted, you know, I used to go up to people and just take one look at them and judge them by their appearance.
Oh.
I don't even do that anymore. I don't judge anybody and at all until I really get to know them. And I see people from the inside out. So I see people's hearts. And, you know, when I first met Yvonne, I had no idea that she was as gorgeous as she is. But she has a gorgeous heart. She's just the most beautiful person that you could meet.
Amen.
Just because of what I see in her heart. And that's the way I see most people, is by looking at them from the inside out. And as far as seeing God, I mean, I have a totally different vision. You know, I can actually see God or Jesus Christ suffering on that cross for me and shedding his blood for me. And it's I visualize that all the time when I'm in prayer and just trying to understand how much God really loves me.
Can you imagine even people facing similar situations to yours without Christ?
And I can't even imagine. Matter of fact, even today I don't necessarily see how anybody can not accept Jesus Christ. You know, if people just look around, look at the beauty of what God has created on this earth, I mean, it just, you know, just that can't happen. That evolution is, whoever believes in evolution has a lot more faith than I do, I tell you.
And you think about what you have and have left, not what you've lost, don't you?
That's right.
And that is that's got to be the Holy Spirit giving you that kind of vision to think, here's my long list of what I have left instead of my long list of what I've lost. Do you think Belts, by the way, looks more like Robert Redford or Don Knotts?
I was thinking Don Knox. You know,
yeah.
The inner Don. I think Steven Spielberg actually in his later years here. You have a huge personality, Ron, and that's always been there, and I'm very thankful that didn't get stifled over the years by drug use or alcohol abuse or some of the other bad things culminating with blindness, because you got a big positive energy around you that is always there, and so does she.
Well, I decided that when I found out that God really had a purpose for me, because I didn't have a purpose back when I was involved in the drinking and the drugs. I really didn't care if I lived or died. I mean, I had no care in the world, and it was just living one day at a time, and didn't care if I woke up the next morning or not. And now, I get more excited about getting up and, being able to serve the Lord and do the things I do. I mean, I'm also a bicyclist, and I'm actually in the process of riding my bike across the United States. And I've ridden in a lot of tours over the years. I mean, I don't know how many thousands of miles I've been putting on my bike.
Let's back up 1 second. Tell us about that, riding across the United States. Is it segments, and are you doing that for any kind of special cause or just kind of for your own goal?
Well, it's one of it is a challenge to me to just to be able to do something like that. It's something that I've always wanted to do, is ride across America, and just happened to come up with a couple of years ago, an organization called Heart Cycle, a club. One of the leaders that I knew, one of the guys that actually pilots my tandem once in a while, he mentioned the fact that he was thinking about doing this right across America and doing it in three different legs. He was wanting to break it up in three legs because most of the people that ride, they can't take 6 weeks off at once and ride all the way across the United States in one trip. So he decided to break it up into three different legs. And the first leg, we went from San Diego to El Paso, Texas. And we did that 2 years ago. And last year, we just went across Texas, which was actually longer than our trip from El Paso to Coons, Texas, or from San Diego to El Paso. Now, this year, in March, what we will be doing is riding from Coons, Texas to St. Augustine, Florida. So that's to be the longest stretch, be about 1,200 miles.
Wow. We have a couple of minutes left. I'm thinking about, guys that might be out there, people that might be listening this morning, maybe they're feeling like, their life's a wreck. You've been through a little bit of everything. You've been through kind of the drinking and some drugs and problems with the law. You've seen a little bit of everything, a little bit of prison ministry. And I know you work also a little bit with guys on Restoration Outreach Project on the street. What would you want to say this morning to someone that might be listening that just, feels like their life is a wreck and they don't know how to turn it around?
Well, for those people that don't know how to turn it around, they ought to do something like a prison ministry or work with the Restoration Outreach Program, come down as a volunteer. Just see how some of these people are living out on East Colfax in eastern Colorado or eastern Denver. People that just underprivileged, the underprivileged people there that just don't have a chance in life, it seems like. And what we do is we bring the Lord to them. Now, that was another thing that I got out of doing prison ministry, is realizing that I needed to reach out to the younger crowds, younger people, runaway and homeless street kids. And that's how I got started with the Restoration Outreach Program with the Prodigal Coffee House. And it's just been a real blessing just being able to teach and mentor to some of these young kids that are living on the streets, that are in trouble all the time, and hopefully change their hearts before they end up in prison.
Ron, you've got a great heart, a great story, and you're an inspiration to all of us. And I, as Bob just said, I pray for any listener today that just needs to get up and try something, give it a shot. No matter what your condition, it's not as bad as you think, especially when you're in the loving arms of Christ, who forgives you, thinks you're the greatest thing alive. And you can look us up at YouGetTheBlessing.com, send us letters or comments. And I just thank you, Ron Barton, for being with us today. Yvonne, we love you guys. Keep up everything you're doing and everything you stand for, Ron.
Thank you, Bill.
And I pray, Bob, too, that... Excuse me?
Bo and Bob.
Thank you. All right. You guys are great. And what a heart for Christ. Thank you all for listening. And we'll be back here again next week for an upbeat time of blessing y'all on this program. See you next Sunday morning, 7 o'clock, KOA. I've been smiling lately, dreaming about the world at one. And I believe it could be someday it's going to come. Because out on the edge of darkness, there rides a peace train. Oh, peace train, take this country. Come take me home again. Yeah, I've been smiling lately, thinking about the good things to come. And I believe it could be something good has begun. Oh, peace train sounding loud.